Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on? It is Steve, starting a little bit late. I have to turn on the show here, so bear with me. But you are listening to Freight Broker Live on Blog Talk Radio, also on our podcast, and now streaming to Facebook, YouTube. I also have links on Twitter and on LinkedIn as well. So for all who do not know, my name is Steve. I host this little show called Freight Broker Live, and I do it religiously, so every single day. I host this episode, well, Monday through Friday, for the most part. I was very close not to making a show today, just because I'm tired. And I wanted to go to the gym again, and then maybe mow my lawn before I have a training tonight. But yeah, so that's that, because as of right now, we're in a tight heat on whether or not we're rescheduling the training. So I'm secretly hoping we reschedule it, but whatever, got to follow through with that stuff. So if anyone doesn't know, my name is Steve. I am the proprietor of the Freight Broker Live brand, including the website, the shows, the podcast, all the training stuff that we do. I am a workaholic, apparently. So I'm an actual broker by the daytime. And then starting in the afternoon, I write content for the website. I've gotten lucky a couple of times and broke some big stories. And so it's gotten some notoriety and it's gotten us out there. So if you're watching and you're just tuning in for the first time, please go ahead and share this out to everybody that you can, all the different groups. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit the like button, subscribe, hit the bell, whatever it is on YouTube. I don't even remember. And then we will continue. It is so much work, Wayne. You know all about it, but I don't know if you're like doing it, if you still drive, but you know, working as a broker during the day and then making all the videos. And then also, cause I'm a gym rat, so I go to the gym every day, hence the world powerlifting competition. I was at two weeks ago, however long it was, seems like it was 2 weeks ago, but I think it was actually last week, in Ireland. But yeah, that's it. I don't really have much news today. Actually, I don't have anything. I'm just going to talk about the Landstar and their AB5 solution, I guess, which isn't a good one. I did get a couple of leads yesterday, and then for some reason it seems like maybe my articles are getting a lot of responses, and people are actually sending me well thought out responses through email for some of the articles I'm writing, which is pretty cool. I actually like it. And I had one that was on a different screen. Let me see if I could find it. See, I'm not prepared, guys, unfortunately. Let me see if I could find this response, because I liked it and I actually linked it out. I linked it out today. I can't find it, so whatever. But I will try to find it this way. So as we all know, AB5, which is, I guess it's the Uber law, apparently, where the drivers, basically in California, they basically banned being a contractor. They said if you meet the three steps or the ABCs, essentially, then in your contractor. So essentially, if you're a trucking company and you work in trucking and you hire out people that are in the same course that in their business operate the same course of business as you, now starting January 1st, that is forbidden in the state of California. So it's kind of funny because being a broker, I never even really thought about it from a broker agent perspective. And I guess I'll talk about that in a minute. And I'm curious to see if anyone's had any fallback on that being a freight broker working for a California based broker and what that means. But Landstar is the first company that came out. A lot of the other companies, apparently they just dropped their clients or dropped the carriers that are out there or just stopped hiring other carriers. Landstar sent out an email to all their agents a couple of days ago, and I reported on it when it first came out. And the one statement that kind of sticks out is, you know, they said, due to the uncertain legal environment created by the new law, Landstar will be reaching out to each BCO and operator who has a California-based address on file with Landstar to discuss some options relating to the potential impact of the new law. It will be up to each interested California-based BCO operator to make his own informed business decisions with respect to how it wishes to react to AB 5. Now, when this came out, I think I was kind of taken back because it kind of it's leaving a lot. Like, they didn't specifically say what they were doing. And then yesterday I received an email from one of our viewers who ended up giving it, basically saying what the options were given to him with that phone call with Landstar. His first option was he can remain in California, but the driver cannot pick up any load in the state. The driver can deliver a load from out of state that's delivering into the state of California, but cannot pick up any load that's outbound or inbound. The driver can move out of state and provide Landstar with a proof of a new driver's license with a new state of residence, essentially force the driver to relocate. And that's the big thing that in all the Landstar groups that they were concerned about, essentially, was, you know, having to pack up their entire family and move to a different state or just get an address or what. But a lot of people are like, we can't just go and do that. We can't just, you know, pack up and leave. And then the third option they were given was leave Landstar as a BCO and obtain their own motor carrier authority, assuming that they would just work with Landstar, utilizing freight and stuff like that. But it kind of, it, you know, and there's 450 owner operators reportedly, 450 owner operators who are subject to this new AB5 policy that Landstar has to put into effect. And they have to. There's nothing they could do about it. You know, a lot of the late night trucking shows, they talk about whether a carrier can essentially make the driver an employee and then lease the truck from the driver and then pay, you know, essentially rent the truck, you know, from the driver. And I think that would be such a convoluted mess. And it would, to be honest, I think it would decrease the profit margins of a trucking company. So I don't see that. I don't think there would be any benefit to doing that from that standpoint. But then again, that's my thing. But one being that I'm a broker, I'm curious as to what, if anyone has any answers on what happens to brokers that are, or, you know, freight agents that are working for those brokerages. Cause I know our company, we have some that are out there. So I could have reached out to them, but I could try to keep everything separate from the Freight Broker Live brand from who I'm a freight broker for. But I'm wondering about some of the larger ones or the California ones that have an agent network set up and agents. I mean, some agents have been with the company for 20 plus years. What happens? You would think that would actually be an easier transition because they just come in and say, hey, listen, from this point forward, we'll give you a paycheck and we're just going to take a higher percentage, blah, blah, blah. You still get commission. That could be worked out a little bit easier than, you know, being. And I think that's what Global Trans been doing is they've been strategically acquiring their. Granted, they're not from California, but they've been strategically acquiring their larger agencies and essentially buying that book of business and rolling it into a corporate account. And that's what's going on. Hold on, I may have an issue. As I said, I'm a freight broker. So this is part of the sometimes with Freight Broker Live. there's issues. So right now we have issues that are going on. And it is what it is. We have one load in Texas that we've tried. I think this is the third truck we've sent in to pick it up. And, you know, now we're getting the response that it's 12 o'clock in Texas right now, I believe. Or are they only an hour behind now? So maybe it's 12 or 1. And the driver is now saying that they said he can't pick up. There's a very long line. He has to come back on Monday, which my guess is that the driver doesn't want to sit there and wait. But, I mean, what can I do? And I also can't really end the show and talk about it. But if any of my current agents are in here, or Kyle, if you're watching, just go ahead and, I don't know, cancel the truck or try to find out a little bit more information and then let me know. Because did the place where he's picking up actually say that or is the carrier just – pulling stuff because he doesn't want to sit there and wait because we all know how much drivers love to sit and wait, which I don't blame them. You know, the problem is we'd have to pay detention and all that stuff. And according, you know, detention rates, this is not a big shipper. So I could probably get away with paying him a better detention rate, But it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about that. But it's back to the whole AB5 thing. It's pretty interesting to think what happens to freight brokers. I mean, it's going to affect so many different people. Essentially, freelance photographers can't work for, you know, those type of companies. Or what about, I mean, there's just so many things. I always think bounty hunters, you know, because bounty hunters typically are freelance and they work for, like, you know, a bail bondsman. That's still the same course of action. So technically, those guys can't be freelance either. What about repo guys that work on a commission? Well, I mean, there's so many different industries, you know, that are going to be affected by the AB5, you know, rule. And now that it's, you know, being introduced in not Florida, I don't believe, but New York, it's introduced and they started talks about it in Washington. Now, do I think it'll go on a nationwide level? I hope not. Like most people say, that would be the end of you know, the owner operator based model for trucking and leasing on. But if that's the case, then he can leave. We'll just try to recover it later if that's the case. But I don't know if you're just assuming that or whatever. But yeah, California's messed up. I mean, no matter what, this law is, it's going to affect the transportation industry pretty. I mean, it already is. You have drivers that are sitting there, and you got to give it to the Landstar Group. I mean, they're doing the best they can, and they didn't really publicize what they're offering, you know. And I've talked to a couple of different Landstar BCOs, and they said that, you know, they do have an out that it's not going to cost them a lot. They're going to be able to continue working. You know, just by, yes, shit, you just get an address in a different state, move your domicile over. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to move, you know, go get an apartment. You know what I mean? Your family could still live one place. You sign a lease on an apartment somewhere, or you have a lease, you go in, you get a driver's license. Not to say that everyone should do that. I'm not a lawyer. So, but the industry is so fragmented, and the people that I think are hell bent on destroying it, and then people that actually care about it, you know, it is what it is. In terms of training and stuff, Maria, just send me an email and I'll answer that in the email. This isn't the show for that, but yeah, it's kind of annoying, you know, the transportation, just all the stuff that's going on. I mean, like all the ELD mess and all that stuff. I'm just tired of talking about it. To be honest, I wish sometimes it was simple, but even what I think was simple when I owned trucks and all that stuff, it was still not easy. There were things that were wrong and, you know, maybe I was naive and didn't pay attention to them all the time, but you know, it's just, it's crazy. You know, one reader on the AB5 article that I wrote for Landstar wrote me an email and said, one of the things she said in the email was California's new law is redundant. Why? Because the ELD automatically forces owner operators into employee status. Hold on, guys. I swear, everyone waits till I call. I just got to end this week. I just got to end the week. This is not a good week for freight. Oh God, it's annoying. Steve, you're watching this. Can you call my extension? I'm unmuting my phone. 101. And I'm just going to have him do something for me real quick if he can. And then I'll continue on with the show rather than ending it. So, because now I have a truck that in Massachusetts that never showed up. So it's always something. There's always something. But I put up everyone's phone number and then it fell off. But I hear you. Hold on, guys. Just bear with me one second. I'll make the show good. Just bear with me. All right. Well, it's always something. Luckily, one of my agents was watching the show, so I saw that. So I'm just asking them to handle it for me. Oh, my God. I tell you, it's been a long week. It's been a long week this week. You know, making videos, training people, you know, it's a lot of work. But at any rate, AB5 sucks. ELDs suck. Hours of service suck. The industry kind of sucks sometimes. You know, it is what it is. Anyone catch the What the Truck interview or the What the Truck video in the last hour? It started at 1 o'clock. Well, they blew me out of the water. So they had the trucker from TikTok that was, you know, having a good time after he went off of the road in a snowstorm in Montana, and then he locked himself out of his truck and he just made the video. And I remember watching that video and being like, wow, this guy's, he was just such a happy go lucky person. And he was on their show. And then they also had the donut kid, the college kid that was selling the Krispy Kreme donuts. They had him on the show too. It was an actually really good show. So if you are interested in watching that show, go over to Freight Waves and you can find their video there, the What the Truck show. It was good. It was different than what they normally do. So, you know, I'm not in competition with them. They're much, much bigger than me. So I don't mind referencing them. I pretty much do every single day. Don said all 450 of them should go in together and buy a campground in another state somewhere cheap. I mean, you could do anything. A virtual address costs $40 a month. You still can register. Or, I mean, most likely someone has family in the other state. You know, there's different ways to do it. But then again, it is Landstar. So maybe just come somewhere else. I don't know. But I'm interested to see what actually happens. What's going to happen January 1st when this apparently goes into law? You know, apparently Uber's making a drive to kind of get it to stop. And they're trying to challenge the law now. Will they be able to challenge it in the next, you know, month and a half? I doubt it. I think they should have challenged it before. It's the same thing. Like, they, you know, they did a congressional hearing on it to see if that's something that should be passed through the United States. Yeah, it is, Steve. If they should be, you know, passing that law statewide. And who knows? Nationwide, and to see if they're going to be doing that. And it doesn't seem like that's going to happen either. But hey, we got a call in line. And like, that's my favorite saying this week with transportation. It is what it is. You can't really argue about it. Like, what are you going to do? The stuff's out of your control. The ELD system breaking down, and then people complain about it and say, oh, we don't need ELDs. And I agree at this point. I agree on the premise of ELDs, but I don't necessarily agree that people need them right now. Because if they can't be, if there's no accountability, I mean, granted, OmniTrack did a really good job of following up with everything and handling the reporting and doing all that stuff and keeping everyone updated on the system. You got to give them that. And I know FreightWaves had an article too that talked more about that and just how much visibility they provided through those updates. And it was great. But I think in the ELD industry and as a whole, it needs to be audited, because I know PeopleNet goes down all the time. I don't know about Keep Trucking if that one goes down, but I'm sure a lot of the little ones go down. Or, you know, last year there was one ELD company that just shut down, I believe, just shut down randomly. And they gave like 2 week notice to over 1,000 trucks and said, hey, you got to go use a different ELD provider because we're ceasing operations. That stuff happens a lot with technology. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And if there's no accountability put in place, then what happens when a system does go down? Or what happens if something happens and they can't really figure out what it is in time? Like, they get hacked or they get a lockout. You know, the town of Riviera Beach or Boynton Beach or one of those, that town got hacked by some foreign hacking group and basically held ransom. And they said, we're not paying, we're not paying, we're not paying. And they kept it going for like 3 or 4 weeks. And guess what they ended up doing? They paid to have their system released. What happens if it's an ELD issue where someone hacks into the ELD? Now, granted, you can't go and hack into an ELD and control a truck. The way an ELD system works is it's a data exchange, or it's not a data exchange. So it can't push notifications to the truck. It can only pull data from the truck. So like, in order for someone to actually hack into the truck, I know everyone referenced that Wired article. If you actually read the article rather than just saying, oh, a truck was hacked, if you actually read the article, that was pre-ELD. They plugged in right into the data port of the truck, the OBD or whatever the hell it is, the serial port. they plugged in and directly sent signals that way and spent about, I think it said like 3 weeks before they actually found a signal to work. And then when you read the actual, the other articles that were about that same thing, they don't even know what the signal they sent that did anything. They couldn't reproduce it that right away. Maybe they did later, but I don't get it. It's just the technology, even though everyone here knows, everyone that watches my videos and everyone that was in last night's, freight roundtable, whatever you want to call it, sales roundtable, everyone knows that I'm a big proponent of freight tech. I think it is the way that it is the future of freight, regardless of how you want to think about it. It is the future of freight. But man, it's scary sometimes to think about. And it's not, and I guess just because I'm such a big social media guy, because I spend so much time on social media and reading comments and reading things, and I don't really comment as much as I used to. Now I'm just kind of sitting there kind of feeling it all in. Occasionally I'll share out my posts or something like that. But it just, I mean, there's it, and I know social media, like the people in trucking, that they're not on social media all the time. It's probably only 20% of the people that are there. But man, I'd say 90% of that 20% are bitter at something in the industry. Someone sent me another, like I said, I was getting emails today about the articles I wrote. So I was getting emails about the ELD article as well. And one person was saying like, wait, you know, I completely disagree with you. It's hours of service, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you got to read the article, bud. Because I said hours of service, I'm a firm believer too. The hours of service are the reason why the people that hate trucking, hate trucking. You know, the hours of service can be directly tied to every single critical issue that the ARTI released, or ATRI, whatever it is, that they released. It, the hours of service can be attributed to each one of them. Detention pay, parking, driver pay, driver shortage, hypothetical, driver retention. I mean, it, you know, infrastructure, it could be put to every single one, but it is what it is. Let me read some of these comments. That call in line is live, 914-803-4008. 914-803-4008. All right, so let me read some of these. I'm also just watching my chat so I can see what's going on with this truck that's just disappeared. I tell you, it's Friday. I don't know how many other brokers always experience this, but it seems like once a month I have a Friday that the last half of the day just takes away how good of a week it was. And that's what I'm having right now, where it's just too. No, they can't. No. So just take them off and then I'll block them too. And I'll just deal with the customer. Damn it. So now the driver, he said he was going to be there at 12 o'clock. He had an 8 a.m. delivery in Andover, so which was 40 miles away from where this is picking up. He said he had an 8 a.m. delivery. And now they're saying that the guy can't be there until 5 o'clock tonight. Wait, maybe he's doing his 10-hour reset or something. But why am I finding it out in the afternoon when they knew he wasn't close? I don't understand that. I just don't get it. Now, if you want to do me a real big favor, call the receiver and I'll owe you a big favor, bud. Call the receiver, the one in Allenson. Call him. His name's Barrett. Super nice. Just tell him I'm in a meeting. I will call him right after. You did get a hold of the truck. We're going to have to schedule it for next week. All right. And please do that for me. And then I'll owe you a really big favor. All right. Let me read some of these. Maria said, hi, training. Wayne said, so much work. Darling said, what's up? Or she didn't. She said, hi, Steve. I ad-libbed. Don said, all 450 of them should go bet. Yeah, we already talked about that stuff. Macklitz said, California should fall into the Pacific already, just saying. DPR systems originate in California, so they could sell cow urine for $8 a gallon. True. Alan asked, here's a broker question. Again, this call-in line's active, 914-803-4008. We'll talk about anything. So call in. We'll even talk about ELDs. I'm feeling froggy today. Alan said, why do brokers call drivers when they get to work on the Eastern time zone at 8 a.m. when they know the driver's in Pacific time, 5 a.m., and break the driver's sleep? The driver should have to log in since he broke his sleep for work. Kind of like if he moves his truck in the truck stop, he has a violation for the day. With a broken sleep, he should have to log in and off and get another 10 hours just because the broker called and woke him. I don't know. I mean, that's a bad broker. I don't call it. If I know a carrier's on the West Coast, plus now we're tracking everybody anyway, So, you know, it is what it is. But it, oh God, you know, we're doing tracking for all of our carriers. That's one of the things we started. If they don't accept tracking, we charge them $10. And in all reality, it's built into what our rate is anyway. But the reason why we do that is to eliminate some of that stuff, so we don't have to do as many check calls. And to be honest, I don't check call. As long as they call, tell me when they're picking up, and they call and tell me delays and all that stuff, and then it is whatever. It's just annoying. I don't know why they do it. You know, I hated it too. It used to happen to me. I remember when TQL, like I said yesterday, I like TQL, but their tracking system is flawed, you know, completely. And this is not going to be a TQL bashing or anything like that. But I remember they would call me at like 2 o'clock in the morning for a 9 a.m. delivery. Call me at 2 o'clock in the morning. So finally I stopped. Well, they used to call the drivers for two. And then I pulled it off and I just used my personal cell phone as the tracking number for all TQL loads. And then they would call my cell phone at 2 in the morning. I'd be like, you understand you're calling me at 2 o'clock in the morning? And I understand why they do it, because their system says the last check-in call, you were 15 hours away. They don't anticipate like how much time you have left. And I think that's another reason why the advancement of freight way down the line, when the data from ELDs is readily accessible to the companies and to brokers and all that stuff, it would be a better system. Because then brokers wouldn't have to be calling. Everything would be checked. I mean, read the article I wrote a couple of weeks ago about how easy it could be. It was funny because I actually made that video, and then Truck Stop, like a week later, they came out with a video that essentially said the same thing, using AI and freight tech essentially to book loads, which is kind of funny because I didn't see that video. But and yeah, my video was like before that, but it was all based on Truckstop's platform. Cause that once I thought about it and I started thinking about it, and then you integrate ELD data and tracking and all that stuff and geotag locations. I mean, no matter how you think, as much as you hate technology, you can't argue that that would make it easier for people. It would make it easier for the broker. It'd make it much easier for the carrier. Don said he had pretty good luck with Transflow. That's good. Yeah, I mean, I use the Transflow. I don't know what they are. The little ELDs that Transflow had. We use those for a little bit, and then with our trucks, the last company I had, and then we ended up switching everything over to Keep Trucking just because it was easier. It was easier to switch. Yes, Steve. And you could try to find a new one if you want. But actually, no. It's going to have to be for Monday because the guy closed at 3. This sucks, man. If you really want to do me a solid, you could call the shipper too. And I believe he's at if you ask for you'll see here's something on there, it'll be the training center. And then his name is Nick, which is the extension too. And just tell him, hey, sorry, I'm in a meeting. The carrier just said he's not going to make it in time. So we're going to have to reschedule for Monday. But, and again, I'll owe you a really big favor because I appreciate it. Kevin Wright said, how did the round table go last night? I think it actually went really well. I mean, I think we talked for 3.5 hours. In our engagement, we had 35 people in it. It started off relatively slow and trying to figure out what kind of direction we were going to talk. And then once we got into it, about an hour into it, at that time we had about 35 people that were actively engaged. And we were just jamming. As I like to say, we were just talking freight. We're talking sales. We're talking different sales strategies. It was a really good conversation. And I'll be honest, towards the end of the conversation, I'm sitting there and I was tired as heck. But it was a good conversation. We kept going, and it lasted until about 9:30. So it was a good three and a half hours of you know, sales talk, freight, just industry, and that's what I want it to be. That's what I want the conversation to be. I want it to be a bigger, better industry. And I think the only way that we could actually do it are through the use of expositions and like the Freight Waves. Freight Waves Lives in Chicago that I'm going to, just to see what kind of text out there and to hear like-minded individuals actually speak on it. Cause I don't feel like you see it enough. You have people like me that make videos, but I'm just some guy that's sitting in my house making a video. So I don't necessarily have the reach, and granted, my videos do have a pretty good reach. You know, they're watched usually over 1,000 times within 24 hours. So that's a pretty decent reach, but you know, the people that are actually in control of the industry, I feel like are disconnected from what actually goes on a day-to-day basis. And that's why I think we need more people. And yesterday with that, the round table, even though it started off as a sales seminar, we quickly, you know, so, I mean, we were talking about everything. Some of the people that are in this group now were part of that yesterday. And it was, I mean, we talked about everything from different sales tactics, ways to get through. And it wasn't just me lecturing. It was everybody putting insight in. So, which was pretty awesome. So I'm looking forward to next Thursdays and see what kind of topics we'll talk about again. Kevin, it went pretty well, actually. Nate said, get the broker's cell phone number in case of an emergency and then call him randomly at 4 a.m. from your burner. It's funny because I've actually called brokers really, really late. Or, I mean, hell, there was one broker that we had a 6 o'clock pickup, 6 p.m. So we went to pick up. They didn't know what we were there for, anything. There was no coordination at all with the shipper. I called the broker. He doesn't answer. Call the broker. He doesn't answer. And you know what's kind of funny, too? If TQL doesn't provide their phone number, like if the agent only has their main phone number and their extension, not a cell phone number, the after-hours people that answer the phone. So when he leaves there at 5 o'clock, if the after-hours people can't get a hold of him and he doesn't answer email, you're out. You can't do anything. You can't get in touch with him and all that, but they want you to answer your phone at 2 o'clock. But, you know, but that's the thing. And I think that's why Freight Tech, well, it solves that issue. No matter what anybody says, it solves that issue. Completely, because then you don't have to worry about tracking. The broker's able to see where you are, and the carrier is able to provide that visibility into the system to avoid those kind of delays. What are we going on? Bad Game Jeff said, why did California pass the AB loss? You know what? That's the thing that annoys me. It's, and this is going to tick some people off. And again, this is an opinion show for now. While it's still allowed to be an opinion channel. But AB5 was started by the people that are now protesting it. They were started by Uber drivers that were complaining because they didn't get benefits. They didn't get paid enough. Guys are trying to treat a part-time job as a full-time job. You know, like when it's silly. It wasn't put in place for truckers. It just happens to affect truckers. And the problem is that the companies that would have been great representatives to combat this, to say, hey, listen, it really disrupts the whole transportation model. It's not a good solution for the transportation industry. You know, let's figure out something else. They didn't show up. They didn't say anything. They just sat there and said, oh, we'll just see what happens. We'll see what happens. And the big mega carriers not even an owner-op basis, that, you know, the mega fleets that have their own trucks, they're all like, oh, no, we're fully for it. The unions, they're fully for it. Of course, they're going to get more dues from it. So, of course, they're going to support something like that, because then, you know, that's what the problem was, is the Uber drivers wanted to unionize, but they weren't technically classed as employees. How can they get classed as employees when the whole system is based on an independent contractor model? Well, let's sue the model and fight to be recognized as employees. And unfortunately, California, being what the state is, said, hey, you know what? We got you. We'll help screw up the world. and that's what they did. You know, and I'm probably leaving out steps and all that stuff because I'm not as eloquent as I want to be sometimes. You know, there will be a time when I have the freedom to – never mind. There will be a time that I'm able to spend as much time as I really would like to doing research and creating content and writing – doing more to make, in my opinion, to make the shows a little bit more productive, and I'm working on it. So those will be that's coming soon, hopefully. All right. Well, thank you so much, Steve. I'll handle that. Thank you, bud. All right, let's see. William McKenzie said, hey, Steve, thank you for responding to my Facebook message last night. Can you explain more why you left independent freight dispatching market? William, Big Cats Logistics Service. Sure, I can. Call-in number is 914-803-4008. Call-in line is 914-803-4008, because I'm also doing this through Blog Talk Radio, too, and that's why I read the number, even though it's on your screen, just in case someone is listening and wants to call in. But the reason why I left, and I said this several times, is I left for a couple of reasons. One, I was tired of the industry. I was tired of being a dispatcher and all the issues that arise with being a dispatch service. To be honest, I spent a lot of money. I built an app, a dispatching app that streamlined the dispatching process, or at least it gave the appearance of doing that to the carriers. Freight rates took a dive, as everyone know. You know, back in February, March, they all started taking the dive. So what happens when freight rates take a dive? that carriers assume that it's the dispatcher's fault, you know, because they don't have the visibility into the market. They're not used to seeing it. So it was kind of two things. So one, I had carriers that were getting ticked at me for not being able to cover as much. And then I had the same responsibility of when I did book them loads, I didn't feel right charging them the same amount that I would when freight was great. So I just kept discounting my rate until I finally released the app. And the app was supposed to be the only tipping service app. It was going to just, you tip for the load we find. And I thought it was a great novel concept. I had a bunch of people sign up for it. We selected 30 to do it. We booked 60 plus loads in the first like 3 weeks for our guys. And we made a total of like $60 because people don't like dispatchers. So they just had us booking loads and doing all the paperwork and they didn't pay. So I just decided, hey, I just give up on this side. I'm just switching back over to being a broker, which is something I've always been good at, but I get tired of it. I get tired of, you know, things like this. You know what I mean? Where we had a really good week up until I have two loads canceled within 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Granted, they weren't huge profit margin loads, but it is what it is. But that's the reason I got out. It's a good industry to get in. You know, William, if you're just starting, get a broker bond. That's the only thing I could say is, you know, cover your butt there and get a broker bond and do it the right way. So that way when a carrier goes, oh, what's your MC? Because if you ever post out, say, hey, I'm looking for carriers, I'm a broker, you're going to get the one guy that's like dispatch, or you say you're a dispatcher, people are going to say dispatcher is illegal. You know, they have like, it's funny because carriers have this hierarchy and almost every single one has a hierarchy where they place carriers and brokers and dispatchers and owner ops and company drivers, steering wheel holders, all that stuff. They all almost always, when they do that, they are not owner operators. They are company drivers or they don't even drive a truck anymore. And they could say they got out of the industry because of how bad it was or how bad, you know, the industry stinks. But the guys that are the loudest on social media saying dispatchers are bad and this and that are, you know, oftentimes they don't even work in the industry. Or, I mean, they go out and start their own dispatchers. There's a guy out there making videos now that, you know, he craps on dispatchers all the time when 3 months ago he was making videos about being a dispatcher. So I don't get it. It is what it is. Dispatching is a good way for you to get your feet wet in the door. If you can't go and work for a carrier, well, technically you are as a dispatcher. It's a good way to get your feet wet and learn the business and then try to transition from there onto the broker side or maybe get a job as a paid dispatcher direct for a carrier, especially if you're good at it. But that's why I got out of it. You know, I wanted to switch back to being a broker because, I mean, I make decent money as a broker, you know. So it's, even if I have loads fall through, I'm still doing well. Yeah, I don't know. Steve, tell him I'll think about it, and I'll deal with that after. All right, so that's my answer, Will, right there. Claudio said, if you use Trucker Tools, if yes, what are your thoughts about it? I don't use Trucker Tools. I actually don't know much about it. I think that's an app of apps. So it's basically one app that has like 15 little apps inside it. Now, are they going to do some cool stuff in the future? Yeah, they have their smart capacity for brokers and all that. I think they're launching their own load board. So they're doing some things that are neat. And you could, I think they're, if they don't already, they have like a Book It Now platform that they can have. But I've never really used it. I kind of just, you know, from what it's actually on my phone, to be honest. I downloaded it once to see what all the hype was about. And then I opened it up and I'm like, it's the same thing I thought about with doing my app is doing a fuel calculator and have a button there that does that and have, you know, a button that does this. Or you want to factor an invoice, have a button that does that and just have, you know, because that's all it is it's 15 different apps all in one, you know. But now they're starting to use their, you know, the data. I mean, because that's what all these apps are really only good for is just all the data that they have. And then building it out that way. So it's pretty good. It's pretty cool. But it is what it is. What do we got? Don said, hope these peeps telling you tied up in a meeting and don't watch your show. No, technically I am in a meeting. So that's it. It's my customer. He knows I make these shows. So I don't know if he watches them. He knows. And the situation's handled, so what can they say? Nothing, you know? But again, call in line 914-803-4008, 914-803-4008. Freight's an interesting game. The transportation market is interesting. It's ever-changing, and people seem to you're either with the change or for it, or you're against it. You know, it's sometimes people feel one way about certain things, and then other times they don't. You know what I mean? Sometimes people complain, sometimes they're happy. It's just it's annoying. It's annoying. So it's like times like this that I don't like being a freight broker. When loads cancel, you know, especially on a Friday. I mean, cancel it Friday morning, so I at least have time to recover a load. But you cancel a load at 2:40 in the afternoon. What the hell am I going to do? I'm not going to be able to recover that. I take that back. I could cover it, but I don't want to. You know, it is what it is. I'll move it. I'll move it on Monday. You know what I mean? Originally, the load wasn't even planned to pick up until Tuesday, or I'll move it on Tuesday because Monday's a holiday. It wasn't even planned to pick up on Tuesday. So, but that's all right. Thanks, Steve. But that's what the deal it is. And thanks, Nate, for handling that. See, I've got great agents. These guys are helping. Granted, they're watching this, but they're helping out. They know that I'm what I'm talking about, and I got some good people. Good people, and they were all in that chat yesterday. And those two guys, Nate and Steve, were both extremely awesome. You know what I mean? They made that conversation what I wanted it to be, the roundtable. Any one of you guys who wants to. So basically, what I'm doing on Thursday nights from now on, it's a members only thing. So you got to be a patron in order to sign up for it. I'll put the link up in a second. But basically, what it is, it starts at 6:00. We go until we're tired and don't want to talk anymore. But we just talk about the industry. If we want to talk about sales, we talk about sales and different tactics. Like I was showing how I quickly find customer lists and stuff. And I found a shipper list that had we estimate it had 4,500 contacts, emails, phone numbers, all that for actual shippers. And I found that in about, 5 seconds yesterday by simply looking up shipper list on Google. Boom. And there's a whole pile of them. And so I was showing different ways that you could find customers and prospect. I was showing the way that I do my background on customers. That's how I was doing it for the first hour. So it wasn't necessarily the show I wanted. But then we got into the talk about how you can go through, how you can get customers and things like that. And it actually ended up being, in my opinion, maybe other people didn't like it, a very good course. Like once you skip through the first hour, and here's how you guys can listen to it. Here's one thing I realized quickly. I got to say it quietly so Alexa doesn't pick it up. But if you say, hey, Alexa, if you have an Alexa app in your house, you say, hey, Alexa, play Freight Broker Live's newest episode. Boom, and it'll play me. You'll hear my voice through your Amazon system. Pretty rad, right? You could also download the podcast on the iTunes Store, Google Play. It's available in all those. And because the conversation, like I said, skip through the first hour of the conversation for yesterday's video. I should have just edited it, but I wanted to upload it. It was good. It was really good. So I, even though I said it was going to be closed and not for public, I ended up posting it because I think there's so much helpful information in there, and it provides a different perspective onto the industry. But if anyone wants to participate in those groups, you can go over to freightbrokerlive.com, which is this tab here. Click on up on the top left-hand corner. It'll say support Freight Broker Live. You'll see a green button that says patron, or it's some color button that says patron, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, so Patreon or whatever, however you say it. These guys always make fun of me for saying it. But go over there, click it, sign up to be a patron. You can do any level you want. You can do $1. You can do $300. You can do whatever. Sign up, and then every Thursday about 5:45, I'll post the link, and then it's a webinar where we're shooting the shit about the industry. Good things, bad things. And really what I would like is to get trucking company owners in there. I would like to get, you know, fleet owners, drivers, everybody. So you can actually have people that are actually relevant in the industry, working in the industry, and inputting our insight. You know, one of the things that I think I'm going to do later is I'm going to put on my page, and then hopefully people will share it out. But I'm going to try to find out what the real 10 critical issues are in trucking. We have the ARTI report, or I think it's ATRI or ARTI. I don't know, nor do I really care. Actually, yeah, I do. That's why I keep correcting it. Hold on. Let me see here. ARTI. So, but we have that report, which says, you know, driver shortage is the most important thing for trucking owners. You know who's not in that report, from my understanding? And it says, let's say industry, are people interested in the industry, I guess, contributed to. So I can only assume that's third party companies like brokers or factoring or anything like that. But they're lumped too as it, as apparently according to that. But from what I understand is they only survey 1,000 people for their little survey. So it'd be kind of interesting, I think, for me to put together a little survey and say, hey, listen, what do you, out of these 10 items or 15 items, list the top 10. And we'll see what the majority of people say are the actual issues. Because I can guarantee you're going to have drivers and everybody that are saying, you know, ELD is the number one issue. And I get that, but, you know, be real. It's not ELDs. It's hours of service that you have a problem with. Now, with ELDs, you can have a problem with the government or the overreach and all that from the government. I get that. But if which one's a bigger issue? Because that's how you're supposed to be rating it as the bigger issue. You know, I can guarantee if I was to survey my the people that follow, I mean, I've got, what, 1,800 followers on Freight Broker Live on the Facebook page, plus there's LinkedIn and all that stuff. Of those 1,800 followers, even if I got half of them to respond, I can guarantee what we actually have for results would not be the same as what they have for results on the ARTI's thing. Because these are people that are actually working in it. Drivers, independent owner-operators, I think, and I could be wrong, I could be off base, but I think the majority of the people that were surveyed by the ARTI's survey are company drivers. Actually, it says that they're company drivers and then motor carriers. So how many independents were actually surveyed? I don't know. I read somewhere that it was like 20% or 30% were owner operators, but it was either 20 or 30% of the driver segment of that survey were owner operators, which is a very small percentage and it's not going to accurately portray it, you know. But I don't know. So I think I'm going to try to figure out, especially if this class tonight is canceled, that's what I'm going to work on, is putting that survey out there and seeing what, or not canceled, but rescheduled, and seeing what's out there and seeing what people actually say. And hopefully it gets shared. It would be funny if it got shared more than the petition that's going around too. That would be funny. Oh boy. All right. Let me see what some of these other comments are. Don said, I thought you went back to brokering to make a bunch of money to pay cash for that house in the spring. Well, see, that was the original plan. I wanted to buy a house in the spring. And then I got sidetracked and I started making all these videos. And then I saw my dream of making a bunch of money as a freight broker go out the window. Because you know how much time it actually takes to make these videos and create all the content for the site? It's a stupid amount of time. It takes way too long. And now I don't even know if I want to live here. I'm secretly trying to move. So I just got to convince my wife of it. But I saw that she's following my brand on Twitter and likes my podcast and all that. So she probably listens to every one of these podcasts when she's on her way home every day. I don't know. But yeah, that was the goal, was to buy, you know, to try to see how, if I could make enough money to buy a house in cash. Because the thing about being a broker is it's different. The harder you work, the more money you're going to make. Under every circumstance, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The harder you work and the more time you devote to being a broker and the more time you spend to booking freight, you will make more money and you will be able to do whatever it is that you set your mind to. It's not necessarily the same for an owner and operator, unfortunately, because you guys are limited by ELDs and hours of service and the rates that us brokers are paying, which, again, if you join the Thursday night talks, if you want to learn about rates and you want to learn how, because that's what I was thinking I'm going to talk about next week, is rates. Why are they low? How I actually quote stuff, things like that. Because I think we talked about sales in pretty much in depth last week. And now we have to talk about quoting and how to accurately quote something so you're not leaving it behind. And that goes with all modes too. We talked about intermodal stuff. We talked about tech. We talked about so much. It was a very, very good show. You know, the only problem was the one guy fell asleep within the first 5 minutes and forgot to turn off his microphone. So we heard him snoring. And then one guy didn't realize he had his camera going when he apparently, I didn't see it because I was busy making the video, but apparently he was going to the bathroom or something like that. But it's kind of funny. It was funny, you know, because it's not visual. It's literally 35 people sitting around just talking about the industry. And I'm just the moderator, unmuting and unmuting people when there's too much feedback or something like that. But if you want to sign up for that, go to freightbrokerlive.com. You can either sit on the page if you've never been to it for a while. In 20 seconds, it's going to pop up and it's going to say support Freight Broker Live. Or in the upper left-hand corner of that page, you can click support Freight Broker Live. Click on the tab that says Patreon and then sign up that way. Or just follow this link. But I think it's probably just easier to go to the other site and say it. The link for it is right here. I could try to put it in the chat, but I don't really feel like it. So, but it's good. It's an industry. I don't know. I want to say industry roundtable, and I actually think it went so much better than I thought. And then afterwards, I actually felt like after the video, I ended the webinar, I actually felt accomplished. Like I felt like, okay, I set out to do something and it was better than what I thought. There was a lot of good conversation, especially in the last hour or so when everyone started getting comfortable and asking questions and talking. You know, there was myself, Nate, and Steve that were pretty much talking the majority of the time. But then when other people would ask questions or we had the chat going, so people were asking questions, it was a very good little thing. So I look forward to next week. Don, I already answered you. Abigail asked, advice for newbie brokers, specifically in the car hauling aspects, how to break into direct shippers with cars. Hold on. Hello. Yeah, I'm in the middle of a show. Can this wait a second or send it in chat? All right. No, you're fine. Bye. I unmuted my phone to deal with the other stuff. I forgot, and it would just ring incessantly if I didn't answer. That's why I did it. All right. Like I said, life of a broker. That's what happens when you can't make the videos full time. I actually have a real job, and I just make these videos on the side. Specifically, the car hauling business is different. So there's two different ways for you to get car hauling customers. First one is to purchase leads. And when you do that, you got to test out your providers because you may buy good leads, you may buy bad leads. All leads are going to be worked prior to you calling them. That's what you have to realize. Or you sit and you say, okay, as soon as the lead comes in, you call it immediately. And while you're calling it, get real good at quoting. So that way you can get a good a quote. Take care of that. So this video is going to end here in about 10 minutes because I actually now have to help one of them book a load. But yeah, that's the easy way, I guess, as long as you have capital to do it. And there's different CMSs what are they? I don't remember. I know Central Dispatch has one called Jade Tracker that's built that it closely integrates. There's iMover Leads, which is one of the lead providers, and there's a bunch of different softwares. CarrierSoft, that's a car carrier software that basically you can have all the leads come in. You can set it to auto quote and it will send back out, but you still have to call. Like car hauling, like once you get going, you have to work really hard to, you have to call. Like that's a cold calling job. You sit there, you wait for the lead to come and then you're like, boop, and call. And if you don't, then you're screwed. Like that's what I, for a couple of different brokers or a couple of people that were looking to get in the industry, I set up their whole system and I built them a custom like TMS or sales management system in Zoho. I charged an arm and a leg for it and it takes a lot of time. You know, I think one of them was $8,000 and the other one was, you know, five digits. So just to build the software and teach them how to be auto brokers through that system. The other way is the easy way. Take a stack of business cards and go knock on auto dealerships, you know, go to salvage units, go to auto maintenance people, maintenance shops, walk around to all those places and just hand out business cards. They're going to blow you off right away, but they're going to keep your business card and then they're going to call you when they need shipments. You can do that all the time. Let me see what are all these comments are. Steve said the greatest thing about the Thursday night show, it was real. Yeah, absolutely, bud. That's what I liked about it. It was. It was real. It wasn't this kind of format. Yeah, well, I guess kind of it was a webinar, so we're just talking. It was just a group. You know, imagine sitting in a bar with 30 people all sitting there talking, except we weren't drinking anything. We were just sitting there talking. But it was a good conversation. And I liked it, and I appreciated everyone that participated in it. So, again, I'm not going to put that up because we will be ending this relatively soon. So I'll just keep this up in case people want to sign up for the patron. And plus, even if you don't want to attend them, I will make the recordings available. This first one, I'm going to do it. Hopefully, eventually I'll get to a system where I can edit and have more time to do editing and stuff like that. But if we have a really good content, I am going to, you know, publish it and put it out there so other people can benefit from it. But for the most part, the majority of them will be by themselves. Steve or someone just message Diane, tell her I'm wrapping this up. I'll be with her in like 5 minutes. Craig Davenport said, what stops truck owners from reaching out to shippers? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Well, it depends. If you're talking about a load that you're already on, or that's called back solicitation, you can't do it. You're going to get caught. But if it's you going out and getting direct clients, as you know, you just got to. It's hard because you have to figure out what loads you can and can't handle. You're not a broker, so you can't give them, you know, other loads to your friends or any of that stuff. You know, so you have to just say, oh, I can cover one lane, your specific area, and then work off of that. I think that's the best way to become a broker yourself, is to be a carrier first. Learn the business, learn the industry, learn what it's like to be behind the wheel. It gives you a new appreciation on what it's like to be a broker and what it's like to be a carrier. And then go and go beyond that and become, you know, a broker. Once you start getting direct customers, that's how I did it. You know, I had my trucking company. I started getting freight that I couldn't handle myself and my equipment. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't care about the laws at that time. So I started, you know, putting stuff on other trucks, until I started realizing, okay, I'm doing this quite a bit more than one or two times a month. So I need to now just get my brokerage authority. That's before MAP 21. So I got my freight forward authority, because I think it was a bit cheaper at that time. And then I just started booking freight that way. And then I realized, hey, I no longer have the overhead of owning trucks. Well, if I switch all the business over to the broker side, I don't have any overhead of owning trucks. So why don't I just do that and just get rid of the truck? And so I didn't get rid of them. I just stopped adding more trucks and just built out the broker side until we were essentially the broker. My book of business was purchased by the first company I became an agent for. That's essentially the way to do it. Knocking on doors is hard. I mean, we talked about that a lot yesterday, and you can listen to the video. Like I said, you can go tell Alexa to play this show, or you can go to iTunes or Google Play Podcast and download last night's show. You only have about an hour to do it before you actually have to search for it, because once I put this one up, it's going to bump that one back. Craig, that's the best answer I can give you on a short time frame. Fran said, good luck convincing the wife about moving. See, I got to be careful what I say, because she may watch it. But unfortunately, if we move, it's because I'm getting an opportunity to move that justifies moving. So plus it sucks in Florida. You know what I mean? I literally had to push a crackhead out of the convenience store yesterday, or 2 days ago, while I was on the phone with my mother, because she's sitting there getting all loud because of some scratch off ticket trying to, you know. Yeah, I hate it down here. And I don't work at a store. I had that because I wanted to leave, and she's blocking the door, yelling at the cashier. And I asked her to move 3 times, and then I politely just moved her out of the way, got in my car and drove away. And then deconned myself. I don't like it here. I'd rather go anywhere. I'd rather live in the desert. For one, it's probably just as hot. Like, I just went outside to grab a can of chew from my car, and it is, you know, it's hot. It's hot here, but whatever. That's another story. And Don said, we appreciate your passion and efforts. Thank you, bud. Maria did smiley faces. You didn't see it. That's funny. So the snorer is watching this video, because he just said, haha, that was me. Man, you didn't even make it 5 minutes, George. You were sleeping within 5 minutes. It's pretty funny, though. And we really got a good laugh at it. Steve said, for last night's meeting, it was great. We had a carrier to give his perspective. We need more carriers in the meeting and hear their issues. You gave him some great advice. Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's what we need more. We need more carriers. We need more help. We had someone that works in factoring, had extensive background in factoring. So that provided insight that I necessarily didn't have. You know what I mean? And I think that's good too. When you're talking about a challenge that you face in the industry, and you can get the answer from all the segments of the industry, it makes the conversation super smooth and makes a lot of people it just makes everyone help. You know what I mean? And I like that. George said, oh my God, I'm snoring. Sorry for that. That was funny though, bud. Jessica said, what's your niche? I don't know. I just drive and freight right now. I don't even have one. Right now, I'm just going after the big accounts. I'm just trying to get big accounts for my subs, so they have a lot of freight to move and all that stuff, and go from there. What did we say? Crackheads are the worst. Oh, God, they're bad, dude. They're bad. And it's funny because they're everywhere. But I like my thing is I'm talking to my mother and I'm sitting there, I'm waiting, and I just got a gallon of milk. I didn't want to go. I had just come from the gym, so I was super sweaty. My wife called and said there was no milk, so I had to go. Usually I bring an extra t-shirt. This is off topic, but whatever. But normally I bring an extra t-shirt. I forgot the t-shirt, so I was literally in my gym clothes. I'm stanking. I'm all amped up on pre-workout. Plus, when I'm at the gym, I turn into like a raging a-hole. So I don't look nice. I typically don't look nice anyway. I always look mad. But so I'm standing there getting milk, and then this lady is talking. She's just yelling at the cashier, this little Indian lady, just yelling at her, just yelling, saying, "You're stupid." And I just sit there and I'm like, "Mom, I got to go." She's like, wait. And because she knew, because she heard everything. She's like, "What's going on?" And I sat there and I waited. And then some other little old lady, like literally had to push by to get in the store. I paid for my milk this whole time. This lady sitting there yelling in my, and she was a lady, but she was like big. She was like my size and she had all sorts of crap on her face. But I'm sitting there, I'm waiting. And then she's like, she's yelling at him. And I said, "Excuse me." And she's just yelling, just ignored me and just yelled at him. So finally I was like, "Listen, move." Like, and then I grabbed my milk off of the counter and I walked out. And then some big chubby fat guy was going as I walked out the door. And I'm like, whatever. But then I got in the car and then I realized that if that was a guy, my reaction would have been way different. You know what I mean? And it was like being old Steve again, working at a bar, you know, kicking people out of the bar, you know, working as a bouncer. I miss it sometimes. It's better that I don't do it anymore. But yeah, Steve, you're going to the top. Don't powerlift. Did your mom win? I don't know what you mean by that, but did my mom win? I don't know, but I called her back, if that's what you mean. Mark said he's planning in a few years to get his own broker license and trying broker freight from home. Nice. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. You know, just plan it the right way. Like if you're currently working in transportation, take notes, ask questions. If you get a good broker that's willing to talk, I mean, you know, talk to them. You use all that stuff that you can build your intellect off of. You know what I mean? That's one of the reasons. That's why I'm so excited to go to FreightWaves. Even though I make all these videos and I talk a lot, I'm actually not necessarily shy, but I'm a very tentative person in public. You know, I'm quiet and I like to feel out people and feel out things before. I'm not a boisterous person like I am in the videos. I like to see what's out there and see what's the different perspectives. And I'm super excited to go to this conference and just see all these people. I mean, the Wolf of Wall Street is going to be presenting. Like, it's going to be so awesome. Like, it's going to be good to hear all these different approaches and all the different tech companies who are presenting. I'm super stoked about it, and I'm blessed for the opportunity. Fran said, "What a nasty guy. He just admitted he hit an old lady." I absolutely did not. I just, you know, moved her out of the way. I don't even know if she realized, to be honest, because she never even stopped yelling at that lady, the cashier. Never, not even once. I'm not joking either. Never acknowledged that I was even there. Never acknowledged that I didn't pick her up. I kind of pushed my way by her and never realized any of it. They didn't say, or I'm guessing never realized, never said a single thing, you know? And I walked back to the car and then I got mad. Cause then I'm like, "Oh, I hate this." And then I called my mom back and I told her the story and she's like, "Oh my God. Oh my God." You know, that's what mothers are there to do. Mark said, "Ha, blah, blah, blah. I have no patience for ignorance." Yeah, me neither, dude. I really don't. And I've calmed down a lot, you know, but it's just like, it's bad, you know. A lot of times, I bite my tongue on social media all the time. I bite my tongue a lot. When people are sitting there and they're being negative about certain things, it's hard. You know what I mean? And if you watch the videos in the beginning to now, I would like to say I evolved a little bit. Maybe not this video. I'll probably delete it after because I'm a little bit amped up today because it's Friday. I'm just ready for the week to be over. I'd really like to have a beer and just be able to relax and then, you know, work on Monday and then fly up there and just enjoy myself and just learn about the industry and talk to some great like-minded people. Francis lies. I see a pattern hitting things. Yeah, well, you can also, I'm so glad I wasn't making a video yesterday. But I think it was in yesterday's video. There's a spider on the floor, and I was trying to kill it. One thing, I'm a 295-pound guy that does not like spiders at all. So I don't know. I can just imagine that everyone that was listening, I don't know if I was doing a training or what I was doing, but the people that were on the phone were laughing because they I felt like they could visualize us. And I'm like high stepping away to, you know, because this spider, every time I had a book, again, that's my favorite thing to go after animals with, apparently. That book is actually called The Big Book of Exercises, ironically. But I picked it up and dropped it, and it didn't even – the spider moved before it hit the ground. I'm like, what is going on? But luckily, it was just moving away from me. And then I picked the book up again and literally put it over it, and it's just standing there. I dropped the book, and then boom, the spider moves out of the way. But this time it started running towards me, and so I panicked like a little girl because I don't like spiders at all. what is this? Oh my God, I'm not even going there. Don't do that stuff. But yeah, I get you. Steve said Steve could bench press the school bus, but last night, see, yeah. So I guess that was during the training. But yeah, I did. I ran. I don't like it. So there's two things I don't like. I don't like spiders, which Florida has a bunch of, and snakes, which Florida has a bunch of. We had a little gardener snake, like one of those tiny little snakes like that. Oh my God. I'm so glad we don't have cameras in our house because I screamed like this. I moved the sliding glass door and this thing fell onto the living room, hit my arm first and fell on the floor. And I fell over my chair rolling backwards, like ninja roll away from this thing. It was pretty funny, but I'm not a big fan of those creepy crawlers. You know what I mean? Someone yesterday was like, oh, just shoot the spider. Okay. Just have a bunch of bullet holes in my house. Oh yeah. Yeah. But all right, guys, but I'm going to go through my little ending credit thing. So if you guys want to sign up for the Thursday night, I call it the throwdown, but it's essentially a round table talking about freight. It's talking about all the different industry aspects. I want brokers. I want new people. I want experience. I want carriers. I want factoring. I want insurance. I want just a group of people that where we can actually sit. And it's kind of silly because one of my friends actually made the similar thing on Slack for the industry, but I'm a visual and audio person. So that's why I'm just doing it this way. But I love to have people that just care about the industry. You know, whether you want to learn about it or whether you just care and want to participate in a conversation with like-minded people who actually care. That's the goal of that. And you can go over to patreon.com/freightbrokerlive and sign up. You do have to pay some. You can pay $1 or then you can just pay whatever you want. We have some people that pay a lot, some people that don't. But yeah, that's that. If you guys, anyone out there needs a free 30 days on Trucker's Edge, the nation's oldest load board, you can go to www.truckersedge.com/408-339. And there you'll get 30 days to access all the loads that I post on a daily basis. Make sure you check out freightbrokerlive.com, which is the site that I created and I write when I can. I try to write at least one article a day. I'm a perfectionist, so even though the articles may not be that great because I'm not a great writer, I lose focus of what I'm doing. So I'm like typing one sentence about something and then I'm like, let me find out why this sentence happened. And then I forget about my article for like 20 minutes while I'm researching a separate topic that has to do with the article. But eventually I'll work on that stuff too. Make sure you've liked me on Facebook. If you haven't already, just go over to facebook.com/freightbrokerlive. Make sure you like and follow, because if you follow, then you get notifications when I go live and when I put out a new article and all that stuff. And I try to put out new articles as much as I can. And also, one thing I like to ask is if you guys could sign up for or follow me on Twitter. I just realized today it was kind of sad. I have 11 followers on my company Twitter page. So it's freight. So FR8, like the number 8. Broker Live, I think. I don't know. So that actually doesn't help. But if you could, just go ahead and follow me on Twitter too. You're going to see all the same stuff you're going to see against the other about all the other platforms. But I just want more followers. I only have 11 followers there. And then, as always, LinkedIn, YouTube, all that stuff. Like and subscribe. If you ever download a podcast, give a review on it or something, because I don't think I have any reviews either. I'm not asking for unsolicited stuff, just if you actually listen to a podcast, go ahead and do that. And then that's it. Make sure you sign up for Patreon. I just lost the window. Let's read these last couple of comments. Mark said he needs to get back into shape, gained 30 pounds the last 2 months due to my logistic coordinator office job, been eating like a trash can. See, today was my McDonald's day, and I skipped it. I was supposed to have McDonald's for lunch, and instead I ate pizza that we had from last night, which is not good, but again, I'm a powerlifter. But I'm doing 2 shakes today and 1.5 gallons of water. So I don't really want McDonald's because it I won't be able to function. I'll just roll around the house. And that's it. I thought about making like a truck workout video, and then I realized, no, I'm not doing that. But that would be funny. You know, just all the stuff you could do in a truck or outside of a truck for truckers. Because I know there's the one person that has a little tool, and they go around and make videos. But, you know, I'll have a push-up competition with him. Not really, because I'm 300 pounds. He's not. I'm a powerlifter. I lift houses or school buses, like Steve said. All right, guys, I'm going to end this thing. It was great talking with you today. Make sure you like and follow and do all that stuff. If you haven't already, sign up for the Patreon account. It's for one, it helps me. It keeps me going, keeps paying for all the stuff I do. In terms of the Freight Broker Live brand, I make enough with the broker side of things to pay for everything. But this just keeps everything afloat and gets my wife not to argue with me. And once you do that, anyone who still signs up, you still have one more day. So anyone who signs up today or tomorrow during the day will be entered into Sunday's gift card drawing, because we give away gift cards on the 10th of every month. We do a $100 gift card, a $50 gift card, and a $75 gift card. I don't know why I always say them backwards, but we give away 3 Amazon gift cards. Or
should I say Amazon?
Oh, I got to say this. This is the last one, and then I'm going to end for real. I got to book Diana's load. I was watching the What the Truck video, and you guys got to watch it, because it was really – the way they did it in the interviews, I actually like those two. They have chemistry between them, the Dooner and the other dude there. Catch what he says when they talk about Amazon, just for a second, because it led me to believe that maybe they watch my show, because he did go, Amazon. I was like, whoa. But I don't know if he actually does. That could have just been my imagination, but I hear it all the time. All right, guys. See you later. Bye.